Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama Kav Chet. We're going to start Kav Zayin Amud Bet in the middle. Okay, right in the middle it says, Shalach L'Rav Chista L'Rav Nachman. Okay, Rav Chista says to Rav Nachman, if you remember, we were learning about this. We had a Meneach HaTakad, right? And then we talked about the four different solutions to dealing with the pshat of the Mishnah that was difficult to the rabbis, right? The fourth one really explains the pshat, and the other three put it in a very unique case, in which case you wouldn't be chayav otherwise. Rav Chista sends to Rav Nachman a question. Hare Amru, and from here we're going to get a little off track. Hare Amru l'rechuva shalosh u'lib'ita chamesh u'lisnokarit shalosh esrei. We know that when it comes to paying boshet, okay, this is how, if you remember, we talked about this the other day, about embarrassment, the cost of embarrassment. If you kick someone with your knee, then you pay three. Three sla'im. Okay, Rashi says it's three sla'im. If you kick somebody with your foot, so that's going to be a higher level, and therefore you're going to pay more embarrassment, you're going to pay five. And snokaret, which there's many different interpretations, Rashi says it's taking the saddle of the donkey and smashing someone with it. Okay, it could be maybe elbowing. There's like all different options as to what exactly this is, but it's another level, and it's much more than the other. It's much more embarrassing. Shlosh esrei, okay, you have to pay 13. So now, if you remember, Rav Chista sends this question to Rav Nachman, and now he continues to say, "Lepanda demaru lekupina demara mai." But if you take the handle of a hoe or the top part of a hoe and you smack somebody with it, so what do you have to pay? So now, Rav Nachman gets this question, and he says, "Rav Chista shalach lei," says back to him, Chista, knasa kamagbi bibavel." Don't you remember that we learned that you can't take knas in Bavel? And boshet, since it's not, right, it's not a monetary, you're not paying someone back for something you did, you know, it's not like you're financially compensating them for some loss, financial loss they had, you're compensating them for embarrassment, clearly it's knas. So he's asking, why are you even asking me this question? You're trying to take knas in Bavel, right? He assumed it must be an actual case. So he says to him, Emali gufa de uvde hechihav. I want to understand what exactly happened here. What are you asking me about? Right? So it's like you get this random question. Yeah, I guess Rav Chista was a little bit being anonymous, like not exactly giving the details. Tell me what's going on. So Shalach Lehi sends back to him, Dahu garguta de betre. There was a well that belonged to two different people. De kol yoma havadale chad minayu. And they would take turns on alternate days. Everybody would take water from there, right? Each one would take on alternate days their water from the well. Atachad kadale biyoma delo dile. So one comes along and takes water on a day that wasn't his. Amar le yoma didihu. The other guy comes and says, hey, it's my day. What are you taking my water for? Lo eshkachbe. The guy didn't listen to him. And he's getting very upset. Here the guy's taking his water that he needs for his field. Shachapan de demara machye. So he takes the handle of a hoe and he smacks the guy. Okay? So now the whole question that Rav Chista wants to know is, what kind of boshet does he have to pay for the fact that he smacked this guy with the handle of the hoe? Amar le, mea panda bapanda lemichye. He says he could have smacked him 100 times and he wouldn't be chayav boshet at all. Why? Because afilu lamanda amar lo avid inish dina lenafshe bimkom se da avid inish dina lenafshe. Even though there's a machloket about whether one can take the law into his own hands, everybody who argues in that machloket agrees that what? That in a case of a hefseid, and this would be a case of a hefseid, because what's going to happen? So the Mefreshim explained that part of the hefseid is that, number one, his crops could get ruined, right, from the one day. But on the other hand, you could sort of measure that still. So some people say maybe he won't be able to measure exactly how much water the guy took out of the well. Nobody measured the water level of the well, and it would be hard to assess exactly how much water he took and how much water he should get paid back. So what does he say? He says, this is a case of hefseid. In that case, you're allowed to take the law into his own hands. He could have smacked him 100 times if he wanted, and he wouldn't be responsible to pay anything. Okay, that's allowed. Okay, sounds a little, right, aggressive, right? So we're going to see what we're going to deal with today until we get to the end of Amud Aleph is all about Avid Inishtina Lenafshe. Are you allowed to take the law into your own hands, and in what cases? So now we're going to see the machloket. The machloket is between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. De Itmar, it was said, Rav Yehuda amar, lo avid inish dina lenafshe. You're not allowed to take the law into your own hands, according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Nachman amar, avid inish dina lenafshe. And then it was said about this machloket, hecha de'i kapseda, just like we said a minute ago, when there's a hefse, kule ama lo pligi de avid inish dina lenafshe. Okay, this is his way of proving what he said. In other words, what happened? Rav Chista sent this question to Rav Nachman. And now Rav Nachman himself is saying, by the way, about this machloket I have with someone else, right? We both agree about this, right? It's interesting that it's he himself. Anyway, so Rav Nachman thinks, by the way, it's interesting that specifically he's bringing this because he's the one who thinks Avadina Shilinafshe in any case. But what he's trying to say is, even those who disagree with me, it was already said about our machloket. Everybody decided already that, you know, the machloket is not when there's a hefsed. Okay, so Yechad Yikapsed, and when there is hefsed, Kuleyama Lepligi, everyone agrees to Avid Inish Dina Lenafshe, but Ki Pligi, the machloket is about to lay Kapseda. Rav Yehuda Amar Lo Avid Inish Dina Lenafshe. Now, why is that? The cave and the lake up say the lezo kamedaina. Right? If you can't take the law into your own hands, if there's no efsed, because if there's no efsed, go to the judge and he'll deal with your case. Rav Nachman Amar Avid Inish Dina Lenafshe. Why does he think that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands even when there's no efsed? The cave and the bedin Avid Lo Tarach. Since he's in the know and he's in the right, we don't have to force him to go to baiting. Okay, so what happens? Someone's taking someone goes and steals your stuff. So can you go chase him down and, you know, hit him and shoot him in the leg so that you can get your item back and you don't have to go to court to demand your money back? Yes, according to Rav Nachman, yes, because it's not your fault that the guy's stealing from you, and it's not, right? Why should you now have to go to court? And we all know what a headache it is, right? To go to the Beit Din and try to prove it and get the money back. So therefore, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, right? Which is it's a little scary to say that because, right, how do you know that you're 100% right? In other words, what you'd have to then prove is if the guy claims, well, you weren't allowed to do that, so you'd have to prove that you were definitely in the right. It just right now brings into mind the story that recently happened with a guy who was not giving a get to his wife. And they finally found him, and these guys beat him up. And eventually they forced him, and he gave the get. But then he claimed that the guys, they kidnapped him. And he brought them to, and he basically got them convicted, and they're sitting in jail now because they kidnapped him. So, I mean, that's America. It's in America. It's American law. So, you know, the question is, can you take the law into your own hands, and what does it mean, and, you know, how far you take that? And would that case count as, you know, they took the law into their own hands? Although what's different about that case than this case is taking the law into your own hands is when it relates to you. In that case, it didn't relate to them. Now, obviously, this poor woman is stuck, and, you know, they did it. They had good intentions in mind, but it could be even the law wouldn't side on their side because Avedin Hashem Lenafshe, it's specifically to yourself. It's not take the law into your own hands if you see somebody go robbing something, so you should get involved. It means for yourself. Lenafshe means yourself. So if someone wrongs you, you're allowed to basically beat them up according to this. You can do what you want.
But she didn't get a get?
She did get the get, but they got put in jail. Yeah, at least she got the get, but they're now sitting in jail. Okay, Mativ Rav Kahana. Okay, now we're going to have a question on this. Ben Bag Bagomer, Al Tikanes Lachatzer Chaverecha Litolat Shalchas Shelo Bereshut Shema Tera'eh Alecha Kiganav Ela Shvorit Shina Ve'emor Lo Sheli Ani Notel. So Ben Bag Bag says, okay, Rav Kahana comes and questions Rav Yehuda's opinion from Ben Bag Bag. What does he say? When you go, if somebody steals something, don't go into his chatzer to take it. Like, don't sneak in like you're a ganav. Okay, because he might think you're a ganav. But what should you do? Go inside there, break his teeth, and say, I want my item back. Okay? So Amarle. So what's his answer to him? Imcha ben bagbag, what you're comparing me to ben bagbag? Yechidaihu upligi rabbanan ale. He's a dat yechid and nobody agrees with him. Like, that's a crazy thing. Nobody thinks we go that way, and that's how Rabbi Yehuda answers the question. Rabbi Yanai Amar, here's the second answer to the question. My shvorat shinav, He doesn't mean literally shvor et shinav, right? It sounds like in the Haggadah, right? Hakeh et shinav, and whether you mean that literally or not literally, maybe it's figurative. It means badin. In other words, break him down in court. Doesn't mean, right? This is a good example of you read into a source what your frame of, right, what you want to. Okay, if you think that you can take the law into your own hands, so obviously you reach for it, shinav kipshuto. If you think that there's no such thing as going and smacking someone else, then when you reach for it, shinav, you assume he obviously didn't mean go break his teeth. Nobody in their right mind would say that. What he means is go break him down in court. So they say, well, that doesn't work because hihachi, look at the grammatical way it was written. What does it say? Ve'emor lo, right? And say to him, right? Sheliani notel. What should it have said? Ve'omrim lo. The court should say to him, right? It should be in plural. Mibayle. And it shouldn't be, don't say to him, Sheliani notel. I'm taking what's rightfully mine. It should say, Shelohu notel. In other words, if Shvorachinav means go to court, it doesn't make sense to then say, and say to him, I'm taking my stuff back. It should say, and they will say to him, give him back his items. So therefore, the words don't really match, and therefore the Gemara says, Kasha, this is difficult, according to Rav Yehuda. The source of Ben Bagbag. Again, you could say the first answer, which is Ben Bagbag is a da yachid and nobody agrees with him. But if you want to go with Rabbi Yana's reading, it doesn't really work very well. Okay, Tashma, what we're going to do now is we're going to have three attempts to prove Rav Nachman, then we're going to have three attempts to prove Rav Yehuda, and then we're going to have two sources that seem to contradict both of them, okay, that seem to say you can't take the law into your own hands, even when there's a hefsed. Okay, so Tashma. So first source for Rav Nachman, remember Rav Nachman says you can always take the law into your own hands. Shur sha'alal gabei chavero lahorgo, uba bal tachton v'shamat et shelo. That one shur climbs onto another shur to kill it. So the one who owns the shur at the bottom who's about to get killed, what does he do? He comes, v'shamat et shelo, and he pulls out his shur from underneath. V'nafal el yom v'met, and the top shur dies. Patur. Okay, so now, the first assumption of the Gemara is, my la b'muad delay kapseda. Now, there's two situations here. It could either be a shor tam or a shor muad. So the assumption here is, they want to prove Rav Nachman, they're going to say, it was a shor muad. Now, if it's a shor muad, what's going to happen? We saw this yesterday, right? If you put the gachelet on the shor and the shor dies, what's the big deal? You're going to get your money back anyway, right? So if the shor that was on top is a shor muad, then he's going to have to pay you full damages. You'll get full damages back. So clearly this is a case where there's no hefsed. And yet what do we see? Right? You're allowed to take the law into your own hands and kill the other shor. So they say, lo, bitam di'i kapseda. It's talking about a shor tam, and what's going to happen? If a shor tam kills your shor, you're only going to get half damages. And therefore it's a hefsed, and therefore it works according to both opinions. It doesn't prove Rav Nachman. But now they say, wait, if you're going to read it that way, we have a problem, because you didn't read the end of that source. Yihachi ema seifa, what's the next case? Dachafola elyon vamet chayav. If you push the elyon, this was you pull out your shore. That's a little more gentle. But if you push the top shore and he dies, then you're chayav. Now, ibitam am I chayav, right? If it's a shore tam, why should you be chayav if you push the shore off? You're going to have a hefsed, and you took the law into your own hands. What's the issue? Now we're going to learn something very basic. Shahayalo l'shamto v'lo shamto. You should have, in other words, when you have two options in front of you, even if there's a hefsed, right? It's like shooting him in the leg or killing him, right? If you can pull out your shor and do it in a more gentle manner, then, and you did it in a more gruff manner, in a more violent manner, and you killed the shor, then you're going to be chayav, okay? So he should have done it, even though you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. You have to do it in such a way that you're causing the least damage possible. Now, while it's true, if you pull your shore out, maybe he'll die, but it's definitely more of a chance he's going to die if you actually push him. Okay, second source. So we haven't proven anything, okay? Throughout this, we're not going to actually, none of these sources are going to be conclusive proofs. Tashma, let's learn from here. If somebody comes in and fills someone else's field full of, you know, he puts all his kadei yayin. Someone comes into my house, fills my house with their kadin. I can take the law into my own hands, basically, and break all the kadim in order to get out and in. So what do you see here? You see that I could take the law into my own hands. You stuck your kadim. I'm just going to go and break them, right? I'm going to smash them because what are they doing in my property? I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. No, you misunderstood this. What does it mean, mishaber v'yotzei? Lebeitin. Mishaber v'nechnas laviz chiyotav. In other words, he's allowed to go out to go to the court, and he's allowed to go in because he wants to bring his shtar that proves that this is my property, and what are you doing putting your stuff in my property? So what do you learn from here? It's not that you can mishaber v'yotzei as a way of getting back at the guy. No, as he walks in and out of his house for his particular needs, like to go to the court to get the guy to remove his stuff, or to go into his house to bring his shtar out to prove it, then he's allowed to break it, but he's not allowed to stop and break it just to say to the guy, what are you doing putting your stuff in my house? Tashma. Minayin l'nirtza shekalu lo yamav. Okay, here we have an Eved Nirtza. Remember what that is? Eved Ivri, he wants to stay after his 7 years. He gets his ears pierced. And comes the Yovel year, he goes free, no matter what. So now it's time to go free. V'rabo misarhev bo latzet. And he's not leaving. And his Adon is pushing him out the door. Okay? He's basically saying, you are not allowed to stay here anymore. You must leave. Okay? So he's pushing him out the door. And as he's in the process of pushing him out the door, it's getting a little physical here. V'chava ba'asa bo chabua. Okay? And he injures him in the process. So start from the beginning. Minayin, if this was the case, shehu patur. The Adon is patur. Tamud lomar, why is he patur? Because the pasuk says, now this pasuk has nothing to do with this, but they're going to darshan it. Lo tikhu kofer lashuv. Okay, this is the pasuk, we mentioned this the other day. When it comes to Ir Miklat, it says that you're not allowed to take ransom instead of going to Ir Miklat. And the pasuk there says, lashuv lashevet ba'aretz, avmot ha-kohen. Okay, so now they darshan this word lashuv. They say it doesn't mean lashuv. We can darshan it. Lo tikhu kofer lashav. You can't take kofer for a shav. Who's the shav? This is someone who's supposed to go back to, this is this Eved, who's supposed to go back to his father's, right? He's supposed to go back and not live in his Adon's house anymore. And what are they saying? Lo tikhu kofer means you don't have to pay ransom if you don't have to pay any money if you damage him. Okay, this is clearly taking it way out of context. Okay, however, they learn this halacha from here. And therefore, what do you learn? That he's patur. So what do you see? He's taking the law into his own hands, pushing the guy out the door. He injures him because he's taking the law into his own hands. He's patur, and there's no hefsed here. So now, what are the answer? No, we're going to explain it's a case of a hefsed. What's the case? Hacha b'mayaskinan ba'avda ganva. It's talking about why they push the guy out the door, because he's worried that the guy's going to steal from him. Now, why is that a hefsed? Because we all know, if you have someone working in your house, go prove that what they stole and how, right? It's impossible to prove him having stolen something. And therefore, it's going to be a hefsed. So now they're going to answer, but wait a minute. Ad ha'idna lo ganav, v'hashta ganav? What do you mean? Yesterday he wasn't a ganav. He was living in your house and it was fine. It's only because kalu lo yamav that we're now pushing him out the door. So if he was a ganav before, you should have done it earlier. Why? All of a sudden today he became a ganav on the day shakalu lo yamav? So then they say, oh yeah, no, it is true. Why? Ad ha'idna hava emte derabe ale. Hashta lately emte derabe ale. Until this point, he was scared of his Adon because he was working for him. Now, he's technically no longer an Eved, l'fi halacha. So he's no longer going to be scared, have the fear of his master upon him. And therefore, there's definitely more of a likelihood that he's going to steal. Okay, so therefore, the guy's pushing him out the door because it's a case of a hefsed. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is going to give a different answer. And from here, we're going to learn a different halacha. Amar be'eved shemasar l'rabo shibchak kna'anit. It's talking about an Eved that his Adon gave him a Shivcha Kanani. Now, what do we know about this? As soon as he's no longer an Eved, he's not allowed to sleep with the Shivcha Kananit. So therefore, why is he pushing him out the door?
Because the guy wants to stay,
but it's forbidden for him. And the guy is trying him to get him not to be over on a mitzvah, right? Or over on an Avera. So therefore, Ada Idna Hetera, Vahashta Isura. Now that it's an Isura, he's pushing him out the door. So now you learn that you can take the law into your own hands. Now this obviously also creates lots of questions. If you see someone doing something wrong, you can write, it's not Avadina Justina Lanafshe Latzmo. Here it's, when it comes to a mitzvah, everyone will agree that if you see someone doing something wrong, you can stop him from doing it. You can take the law into your hands in the sense of, you can prevent him from doing it. So that's why he's patur. So there's two different options. And either way, it doesn't prove Rav Nachman's opinion. Third source, Tashma. Haminecha takab reshut harabim. Now we finally understand why we brought up this whole sugya. Okay? So, haminecha takab reshut harabim, our Mishnah. Ubachir v'nitkal ba'ushvara patur. Okay, so what do we learn from here? Ta'ama dinitkalba. Hashavra chayav. What do you see here? The reason why, we already did the three, now we're on the fourth. This is now going to be to support Rav Yehuda's opinion. Okay, so somebody comes, right? What do you see? If you leave your katan reshut harabim and somebody else trips over it and breaks it, he's patur. What do we assume? We saw this before, right? Again, we rejected this and we'll reject it in a minute, but the pshat seems to be only if you slip on it, but if you break it on purpose, you're patur. So what do you learn from here? Right? Ta'ama dinit kalba, ha-shevra chayav. And you could say, remember what we said that Rav said, that it's a case where you filled reshut harabim kula chaviyot. So you could say that this guy is taking the law, according to Rav's reading, the guy is taking the law into his own hands. You filled up reshut harabim all chaviyot. I have nowhere to walk. I'm going to just go break them. So if you say, I'm going to just go break them, according to the pshat, shvara would be chayav. Only if you tripped over them are you patur, but if you actually broke them on purpose, you're chayav. So you could say that this would prove Rav Yehuda that you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands if there's no hefsed. So now, I'm Rav Zvi, Mishmei de Rav, and we saw this already. Hu adin afilu shavra. Even if you break it, you're still going to be patur, but hai dekatani nitkal, why did it say if you trip over it? That's because they wanted to match the lashon to the lashon of the seifa. I did kabbalah mitne seifa, and the second part of the mission it says imuzik balachavit chayav benisko. Imuzak balachavit chayav benisko. If you get injured by it, then the owner of the chavit has to pay you, and that's a case of didafka nitkal. That's only going to work if you tripped. Aval shiber lo. But if you actually broke it, it's not going to be the case. Why? Dehu azik nafshe, because he broke it on purpose by himself. And that he intentionally broke it, and therefore if you get hurt by it, well, that's your fault. Okay. And therefore, katane resha nitkal, and therefore you can't prove anything from this source, because this source could be on purpose, could be by accident, could be either which way. It doesn't prove either opinion. Tashma. Next source we're going to try to prove Rav Yehuda. Vikatsota et kapa. This is the case where the woman goes and grabs the man's genitals because he's fighting with her husband and she wants to kind of attack him. And what happens? It says vikatsota et kapa. That's her punishment. And which really means, right, the pshat of that means we're going to cut off her hand. Okay? I think that's what it means. But we don't do that. Right? Just like ayin tachat ayin, we don't actually pull out your eye. What does the rabbi say? It means mamon. She has to pay mamon. So now, what do you mean she has to pay mamon? Wasn't she taking the law into her own hands? Now you could say ishto ki gufo, right? Even if you say, right, her husband couldn't help himself, she gets involved to try to help him. My la b'she'ena yecholah la'atzil yidei tavar acher. Is it not that she had no other way to do this, and this was her only method of helping her husband, that therefore you'd say, it's taking to the law into her own hands? So then they answer, and that's even b'makom, right, right, so then it would be a hefsed if she didn't do it. And then the answer, no. Right? Lo, she yichola lahatzil yidei davar acher. Aval eina yichola lahatzil yidei davar acher p'tura. So now what are they going to say? The only time she's chayav mamon is if she had another method of doing it. She could have protected her husband some other way without going through so much damage here. But because, right, if it was actually a case where she had no other choice but to do this, this was the only way she could do it, then she's going to be p'tura. Okay? So there you see, I was saying it wrong before. If we're going to say that she's chayav, the havamina was to say, if we're going to say that she's chayav mamon, it's because you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands unless there's a hefsed. And here there was no hefsed, and therefore you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands. That's Rav Yehuda, who said she'd be chayav. So now we're going to say no. You could say that this source doesn't go by him, and what it's saying is you're allowed to take the law into your own hands only when you have no other choice, right? If this is your last resort, then you're actually allowed to do this and you don't have to pay mamon.
Which means you should go to court if you possibly can.
You should either go to court, or if they're fighting and you can stop him in some other way, right? It's like the shooting in the leg thing, right? If you can stop him by tripping him, let's say, just grab his leg and make him fall, well, better to do that than to grab his private parts.
Are you calling this a case of no hefsed?
Right, it's not a hefseh because he'll just pay the damages, I guess, right? But then you have to say, right, attacking a person in their self-defense here, right. Right, so, right, I think that's how it reads. I think that would be, 1 second. No, I guess it is. No, right. I did say it wrong. I said it right the first time, which is this would be a case of hefsed. The fact that you have to pay shows that even bimkom hefsed you'd have to pay, which wouldn't match Rav Yehuda, because right, Rav Yehuda, I mean, it wouldn't match either of them, really.
Right,
it contradicts both of them. Yes, okay, so this contradicts both of them, which is going to be the same as the next sources. Okay? So then they say, no, right, it's only if you can't do it in any other way. So then they say, but ihachi, that doesn't make sense to say that. Because haditani seifa, what does the continuation say? V'shachayada, prat l'shalech beitim. It says the words v'shachayada, what do we darshan from there? It's only if she does this, your chayah. But shliach beitim does it, he'd be patur. Okay, if shliach beitim comes along and he gets involved, he's allowed to do that as a representative of the beitim. So now, what do you see here? The source itself is already making distinctions. So if the source is making distinctions and it's said by the woman, she's always chayav, and what we just said is she's only chayav, she has no other alternative, then, I'm sorry, she's only chayav if she has some other alternative, then liflog v'litnei bedida. If already was making distinctions, her or shliach beitin, it should have also given the other distinctions that we just made. It should have said, b'me dvarim amurim, b'shecholah latzil yidei davar acher, aval ein yecholah latzil yidei davar acher p'tura. And the fact it doesn't say it proves that this is a bad answer that you just gave. So now what do they answer? No. Hachanami kamar. That is actually what it says in the source. Because when it says, v'shachayada prat l'shalach beitin, how should you read this? This is another one of those, it's missing words and this is how you should read it. Chisur m'chasra v'hachi katane. In the case where she can't do it, she has no other methods, then she basically is allowed to hurt him, and she's as if she's a shliach beitin. In other words, when it says prat l'shliach beitin, it means that there's some times where a woman herself can be considered like a shliach beitin, where she has no other choice but to do that, and therefore she's going to be p'tura. Okay, so that's how they reread the source.
So in the case of hefsed, if you have no other choices, it's if you're acting on behalf of beis
din. Exactly. That's what they're saying. Now, again, this is how they read this source. The pshat of the source doesn't say that.
Right.
And you could very well say that in the time of the Tanaim, they didn't all agree that you could take the law into your own hands, even b'mkom hefsed. But when the Amoraim came along, and then their machloket was, you know, kind of established by other Amoraim, it was decided that this was the case, and now they have to reread all the Tannaitic sources according to their reading. Okay, so it's very possible that the Tannaitic sources did think you can't take the law into your own hands, even b'makom hefsed, and yet, you know, the Amoraim reread them to make them work in with what they understand to be the case. Okay, next source is going to provide, we'll see how it works here. Tashma, hare shaita derech harabim overet betoch sadeh. Okay, the next two sources, just like this one, are going to show that you can't take the law into your own hands, even b'mkom hefsed. Okay, but we're going to disprove them. If you had derech harabim overet betoch sadeh, you had a path that was a reshit harabim within your field. Okay, it happened to be you bought this field. In the middle of the field, there was a path. Now, that's wholly inconvenient. People are going right through your field. So what do? Nitala, you take that to be your own. V'natalam minatzad. So then you take this path on the side, and you say, this will be the thoroughfare where people will walk through, and I'm going to take the other property. Masha natan natan. Okay, this is, if you remember Me'ila, what happens? I'm sorry, Tzmura. You make something and you make something else instead of this animal is going to be hekdesh. What do you say? Hu tmurato yeh hekdesh? Now it's going to be like, what? Right, both of them? Same thing here. Masha natan natan, the new property, the part of his property designated be Rashid Arbim will be Rashid Arbim. Vishalo lohigio. Okay, this is unclear what exactly this means, and the Gemara is going to sort of understand it one way now, but sort of a different way later in the Sugya, which is going to be very confusing. But it means, Vishalo lohigio, achshav, now we're understanding this to mean that he can't take back what was originally Rashid Arabim cannot become his. Okay? So, Iyamart Avid Inishtina Lanafshe Linkot Pazra Velaitev. If you say someone can take the law into his own hands, well, here there's this property in the middle of his property, but he doesn't want people walking through. He gives them another property. Why can't he just stand by the old property, right? When it says, Shalolo Higio, it doesn't become his, that property. Why doesn't he just stand there with a stick and prevent people from going through his property, right? So, Amarasvi Mishmei Derava, Gzera Shema Yitein Lem Derek Akalaton. Yes, in the case where he's giving them a perfectly good path, it would be okay. But we don't allow it because we're worried that if we allow people to do this, this is a very convenient path, and he might give some people a very inconvenient path to go through, like a wavy path, something that's going to basically make them struggle, and it's not going to be convenient for them. So therefore, even if he gives them a good path, we're making a gzeirah that he's not allowed to do this, so that he won't end up maybe doing it in a different case, in a bad way. Okay, there's going to be two other explanations. Rav Masharshia Amar Binotein Lahem Derech HaKalaton. This is only true in the case where he actually provides them with a bad path. If he provides them with a good path, then he's allowed to do this. Okay? So in all these cases, it's basically saying you are allowed to take the law into your own hands, but here there's some other issue at stake here. Rav Ashi Amar Kol Min Atzad Derech HaKalaton Hu Krova Lezeh Rechoka Lezeh. Forget about it, it's not a gzeira. It's not only in a case where he does a derech hakalaton. Any way he does this is a derech hakalaton. Because if his property is here, and he had this path going through the middle, and now he puts it on the side, so anyone coming from the far side, it will be a headache for them, right? It might be convenient for somebody coming from the other side, but for any new path you make is going to mess up the people who that was the easy path for them. Okay, it's true, it might make it more convenient for someone else, but it's going to make it harder for somebody else, and therefore, you can't change it. This is a good, status quo answer. You know, everyone is used to their status quo. Don't mess them up. Don't mess them up from what they're used to. Okay, anyway, now the Gemara is going to question, Ihachi amai shalo lo higiu. Lema lehu shkoli didchu vahavali didi. So now they're going to explain shalo lo higiu in a different way. What we said is both are Rishud Arabi. But now we want to say, if this was the original path in the middle of this field, and now he makes one on the side, which is the new one. So now he learns that the original path, there's nothing he can do about it. So why can't he take back the new path and take it back and make it back into his property so his property doesn't get destroyed in two places? So they understand Shalolo Igiu now is saying the one he designated to them also can't be his either. In other words, the one he already designated can't be redesignated back as his property. Why not? He should be able to say that to them, Shkolu ditchu v'havali didi, right? Take your new property and give me back mine. So what are the answer? Mishum de Rav Yehuda, de Am Rav Yehuda, Meitzar shechziku bo rabim, asur lekalkelo. Once you designate something to be a public property, and people start getting used to it, you're no longer allowed to take it back. And that's why the new property also can't come to be his. Okay, Tashma, next source. Ba'al abayit shiniach pe'a mitzad achad. Uba'u aniyim v'natlu mitzad acher, ze v'ze pe'a. V'yamar avid yishin l'nafshe, amai ze v'ze pe'a, linko pazra v'leitiv. If you designate this corner of your field to be pe'a, and the aniyim came and took from the other corner of your field, so this is pe'a and that's pe'a. So now they're saying why. You could say, I'm going to go stand on my corner that I designated originally, and I'm going to not allow aniyim to take because they already took from the other side. So again, it seems like that you can't take the law into your own hands, even b'makom hefsed. So now what do they say? Amarava, my zevizepea. Zevizepea doesn't mean you have to give that property to poor people. What does it mean? Lipotra min amaser. What does it mean, zev zev peah? It means it's now patur for maser. In other words, what happens if you're mafkir your field? Okay, this is the bright they're bringing to prove it. If you wake up one morning and say, I don't want this field to be mine, you're mafkir. And then you decide to start being both serious, you're going to start cutting your crops and bringing them in, which shows you're buying it back. Basically, you're reacquiring it. So you're still chayav in peret olalot shichan peah, but you're no longer chayav in maser because you're already mafkir the property, and shame maser is removed from it as soon as you're mafkir. So if you say this is peah, then it's already patra from maser. If the aniyim take from a different spot and this no longer becomes pe'ah, it still was pe'ah that it was hefker, but you can now say, I want this to be mine, I'm buying this back, basically. Okay, so it can be yours, but it's patra from master, and that's the relevance of that, and it has nothing to do with avid inishtina lenafshe. Okay, so we end up not concluding anything. Interestingly enough, lahalacha, we paskin like Rav Nachman, that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, even if there's no hefsek. Okay, so difficult to swallow, but yes, that's how they view it. Okay, there's a bunch of these halachot, like kol da'alim bar, that we've learned that the strongest person gets it if there's mamon that, you know, is doubtful and somebody grabbed it and he's bigger. You know, there's certain cases where we allow that. There's a certain amount of allowances for people to kind of get involved. And I think that, you know, one of the main things dealing that you saw from the very beginning is this concern that people not get taken advantage of. In other words, if you don't allow people to take the law into your own hands, then someone could easily go do something where there's no edim. Think about our system of law. You have to bring edim. It's complicated to prove things. It's complicated to go to court. It's a tirchet. All these things. So to prevent people from doing things to other people, I think they allow people to take the law into your own hands. So you know that if you walk into this guy's house, you know, he might beat you up. And maybe it's a preventative method is a way to look at it. That if we allow people to take the law into your own hands, maybe people will, you know, not do those things. If they know that they can get away with it and they'll have to be brought to court and who's going to prove it, then they think they can get away with it and they'll do it. Maybe that's...
I have a prime example in the Torah with Pinchas, right?
Right, Pinchas, Kenayim Poginbo. We're going to see the whole sugya of Kenayim Poginbo, which is, you know, that's... It's very similar. There it's in a Znuk case, which is more chamor. These are Dine Mamano cases. That wasn't Dine Mamano, but yeah, we're going to see that when we get to Sanhedrin.
So one here with the Eved not sleeping.
Right, with the Eved not sleeping with the woman, exactly. So, right, that's the whole thing about Kenai and Pokimbo, and that's also not Inishtina Lenafshe, that's to somebody else. And then we'll get to Dimrodev. That's all. We have a while until we get to Sanhedrin. I don't know, maybe 2 years, but no, maybe less. But we'll get there. Very interesting sugya. Okay, new Mishnah. Nishbirat kado b'reshut harabim. If you break your kado b'reshut harabim, and it was filled with water, and the water spills all over the floor, what's the next thing that's obviously going to happen? Huchlak echa b'mayim. Okay, somebody slips on the water. Or oshalaka b'charsit, chayav. Some people say it's charaseha. It's a hey, not a... It's different girsaot. It makes more sense. Or somebody got hurt by one of the shards of the broken kado. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'mitkaven chayav b'she'eno mitkaven patur. Okay, we don't know exactly what this means yet. We're going to see in the Gemara. If you were intentional about it, then you're chayav. If you're not mitkaven, then you're patur. We'll hold off on it for right now. So Tanakama says you're chayav if someone gets hurt by it. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Lo shanu ela shetinfu kelav b'mayim. Aval hu atzmo patur. Karka olam hizikto. In order to understand this, you have to understand there's a basic machloket by boar, which we haven't yet gotten to, which is when somebody gets injured by the boar, there's two things that could damage him in the boar. One is the airspace of the boar. It's called the hevel. Okay, that just going into this space where you can't breathe, where, you know, you could die from the air or get hurt by the air. And the other is the impact on the floor, right? We usually think of, you know, you smacked on the floor. But there's a machloket there, and one opinion says that you're only chayav from the hevel, and if you actually got damaged from the impact, you're patur. Why? Because the guy who dug the well didn't create the floor. The floor is karka olam; it was always there. And the floor and the impact is not what you're chayav and bor. You're chayav for the air, which is a crazy opinion. We're going to get to this more in depth, but what they're saying here is the same thing here. But since this is bor, right, you left something, a takala, an obstacle in Rishit Arabim. So according to Rav, he's going to hold the same thing by Bor, that it's Hevlod it's Mazik. So therefore, it's only if, when it comes to, right, if Timfu Kelav B'mayim, if he ruined your Begadim from the water, but if he himself got damaged, your Patur. Okay, because Karka Olam Hizikto. Okay, because what are we going to say? It's the floor that damaged the person, not the water. The water caused him to slip, and in the end, he got hurt by the impact on the floor. So therefore, if the floor hurts him, well, then that's not chayav. But if the water got the clothes dirty, imagine it was dirty water and it ruined his clothes, or just because the clothes got wet, they got ruined, right? Certain clothes can't get wet. So then he's chayav, okay? Because that's like the hevel of the boar. Kia Marita Kameh de Shmuel. Now, we had this a lot with Rav Yehuda. After Rav died, he would bring, you know, he learned with Shmuel, and he would say, oh, Rav taught me this, Rav taught me that. So when he brought this in front of Shmuel, Amarli, Michte Avno v'sakino masa'omi barolamanu, v'kulana nikorei bahem shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim. V'hanemile le'inyan katla, aval le'inyan nezikin, adam chaya v'kelim pturim. Okay, what does he say here? If you're going to learn this all from Bor, right? Avno sakino maso, that's what this is, right? We learned it from Bor. And what do we say about Bor, remember? Shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim. It said shor or bor, or chamor. So for shor or chamor, we learn shor, and only shor, not adam. And chamor velo kelim, what does that mean? If the shor falls in, right, kelim are not chayav in bor. And if you're talking about clothes, well, the clothes shouldn't be chayav in bor at all. There is no nizke kelim by bor. So how could you say that there's a din of bor, and we're talking only about kelim, okay? And hanemile, when we say shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim, that means if an adam was to get killed in a boar, you're not chayav. But le'inyan nizik, an adam would be chayav and kelim would be p'turim. So therefore, he's assuming that what should be the case here? We're talking about nezik to the adam and not to the kli. Okay? Doesn't make sense to say it's about a kli. So now, what's Rav going to say? Now, this goes back to another basic machloket about boar, and we referenced this already. V'rav hanemile hecha da'af kirinu. That's only true. Remember we said that bor, there's two ways of looking at bor. Bor in general is something you leave in Rishud Arabim. So therefore, hanemi lehecha da'afkirinu. If you were mafkir, the water spills out of your thing and you say, oh, I'll never collect that water again. I'm mafkir it. Aval hecha de'lo afkirinu. But if you weren't mafkir the water, then the water damages the kelim, your chayav, why? Not because of bor, but mamonohu, mishum shor. Now, this is a crazy answer. Why is it a crazy answer? Imagine the situation. You're on the street, your kli breaks, and you,
quick before you
you're not mafkir the water? Who thinks they're going to actually get the water back, right? It's crazy, and they don't even talk about it. Like, it's a... And yet, that's his answer.
The honey broke, and quickly somebody jumped in.
Right, quickly someone jumped in, but here the water already got to the floor. So it's very hard to understand the reality of what he's saying, that really it was a case of law of Karinu. But that's what Rav would have to answer, that it's not of Karinu, and because he holds that not of Karinu means it's your Ramon and it's not Bor, then you'd be Chayav. Okay. Mativ Rav Oshaya. Now, Rav Oshaya questions. V'nafal shama shor chamor, shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim. Mikan amru. From here we can infer what? Nafal l'tocho shor v'keila v'nishtabru, chamor v'keila v'nitkaru, chayav ala be'ema u'pator et ala kelim. Right? This is what we just said. Ha l'maze domeh, lavno sakino maso shenicham b'rishit harbim v'yiziku. So first the Gemara is just going to comment on this braita. What does it mean, ha l'maze domeh, lavno sakino maso? What do you mean, it's like the case of avno sakino? It is the case of, what they really want to say is, right? So the Gemara says, Adraba, ma domel is it? In other words, what it means is, what's a good example of this? Of no sakino maso. And saying, this is, instead of saying, this is like of no sakino maso. So then what do they say? Mibaile, that's what it should have said. Ella, my domel is it? What they really meant to say was, what is like this? Of no sakino maso, shinchambu shitar bin biziku. And then it continues and it says this. Lefichach imitiach tzlochito be'even chayav. Therefore, okay, I think we'll end today with the question. If he trips if he smashes his pot, let's say, his what, flask, they say, on a rock, he's chayav. Okay, the owner of the rock is chayav. If you left a rock in Rishud Arabim and the guy smashes his flask on the rock, he's chayav. So, Reish HaKasha L'Rav and Seif HaKasha L'Shmuel. Okay, why is this? Because if he smashes the Evan Sakino Masa is like Bor, right? So if he wasn't Mafkir, it's like Shur. So now, I have to remember the, right. So if he Tiach Tzlichuto Be'Evan, then we're going to say it's Midin Shur and Shmua. One second. You know, let me just get it straight by tomorrow. We'll start tomorrow from here and see what's difficult about this and then how each one explains it. We'll move on.